Today, my guests serve as Chief Programming Officer for South by Southwest. In 2014, he was one of the organization members to be named Austin Entrepreneurs of the Year by Ernest & Young. He is currently part of the Board of Directors for Austin Habitat for Humanity and a trustee for the Austin Foundation. In this episode, we talk about meeting inspirational people, challenges that come along with his work, and 30 years of South by Southwest. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest, Hugo Forrest. Hugo, how are you?
Good, I'm good. How are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed. I'm glad that you make time for this. I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy man these days.
All good. Thanks for having me.
I'm super excited that you're here today because I want to hear all about your journey that you have been on with South by Southwest in the last 30 years.
Sure. Well, we have been lucky enough to scale to quite a big size at this point. But as always, I think that what's important is to be better, not necessarily bigger. And if you're better, the bigger part will take care of itself. So as always, quality over quantity. In terms of me getting involved with South by Southwest, I came on board in 1989. I was living in Austin. I grew up in Austin. I knew the people who were running, the initial organizers of South by Southwest. I got pulled into the event mainly for one specific reason, which was that I had a computer and they didn't have a computer. So I got hired because I had a computer. So I always say that's the importance of having the right hardware at the right time. And I was, in fact, the first paid employee at South by Southwest. So someone said a few weeks ago that I should call myself the founding employee. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. But certainly when I first started working at South by Southwest in 1989, I never, ever in my wildest dreams would have guessed that it would grow to be the size and scale that we've been fortunate enough to grow to now.
How big is the team right now?
We have about 170 full-time year-round employees. That number will get a little bit bigger as we get closer to March and we'll hire more people. That's a lot of people, but it also is, a lot of the work is also done by a pretty huge core of volunteers. And we'll have anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 volunteers that help manage the event on site. So my particular staff, my current role is Chief Programming Officer. I've got about 55 people on my specific programming team. And I work directly with probably about 20 to 25 of those people.
Do you consider yourself a natural born leader, or this is something that you had to learn throughout the journey?
Definitely not a born natural leader. I don't know that any of us are. I've gotten better at that, I think, the longer I've been at South by Southwest, although I am still just beginning to learn what that really means. Some days I think I've done a good job of leading my team and helping to provide them structure and helping to provide them inspiration. Other days when I know that I could have done more and could have improved. So as always, it's a journey and a process of growth. And the longer you do something, the more skilled you become in doing it.
Are you very critical of yourself?
I think I try not to be critical per se, but I do try to be analytical. When I've done something, and particularly if I haven't done it as well as I thought I should do it, take a step back the next day and write down what was good and what was not so good and how I could do the same thing better next time. And I've found that that generally leads to better outcomes. I try not to beat myself up too much, just try to learn from mistakes or things that I haven't done correctly. And hopefully that leads to better outcomes the next time.
Well, a big part of the success of the festival is the quality of people that you brought in to speak, to engage, to participate. Are you usually nervous or even anxious before the presentation? Was that ever someone that you were like super concerned and worried?
I think there's always a degree of nervousness. Will the person be as strong a speaker as you hope he or she will be? And so there is always there's always some of that. We try to do as much diligence on invites before we invite someone at this point, but we've still, you know, even with all that diligence, there are times that you make mistakes there. But we're very fortunate to be in a position with where we've grown to over the space of 30 years that, you know, more and more people are returning our invites or returning our emails when we're asking them to speak at South by Southwest, and more and more people are actually emailing us or asking us to speak at the event. And that's certainly a lot different than what it was when I first started doing this stuff 20 or 30 years ago.
But the magic is not just to bring the big names, but it's keeping improving, right? Every year you need to make sure that you have not bigger names, but they're still strong and relevant people at each panel.
You know, once you get one bigger name, the next one becomes a little bit easier, and so on and so forth. And once the bigger names understand some of the benefit they can get from speaking at an event like South by Southwest, then again, it makes it easier to procure other big names to the event. But I'll also say that, you know, the big names at South by Southwest are, they're generally what attract the headlines and what attracts a ton of media coverage. And that's wonderful. But the big names are only, you know, 2-3% of the total program. The other 97% or 98% are people that you haven't heard of or haven't heard of yet. But that's the whole beauty of South by Southwest, I think, or one of the big values of South by Southwest. It's discovering new thought leaders, new innovators, new creatives, people who have new ideas, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 years before a lot of other people have discovered them. And whether it's a musician or a filmmaker or some kind of coder or entrepreneur or tech innovator, it's being able to say, wow, I met that guy at, you know, or I met that woman at South by Southwest 3 or 4 years ago, and she had a really cool startup then. And it's really amazing to see what it's developed into 2 or 3 years later.
Okay, so I have two questions in one. Number one, I want to know who was the biggest name, the first biggest name that attracted a lot of media attention to you guys? And second, how many people you were inviting to participate and how many people are reaching now and pitching themselves?
Well, probably one of the first really big names, and this was on the music side, was music started, Southwest music started in 1987. So in the seventh year, 1994, Johnny Cash was the keynote for South by Southwest music. And, you know, certainly Johnny Cash is one of the more iconic musicians of the last, you know, 50 years in America, and having him come to South by Southwest, give us keynote speech, play in a small club. And that was, in fact, when he was kind of relaunching, pivoting his career to appeal to a much younger audience. That was a huge step forward. On the multimedia side, I think in 1995, so it was the second year we were doing what was then called multimedia and is now called interactive. One of my, you know, one of the people I'd followed for years and years, we were able to get this person to speak. That was Todd Rundgren, who, if you can remember, in the mid 90s, he had kind of transitioned from music to doing more multimedia content. So it was a nice little fit and pretty cool to have him involved. And, that was kind of one of our first big tastes of, you know, someone that was fairly famous speaking at South by Southwest. The second part of your question, I believe, was who do I know who's become rich at South?
The second question is, I want to know how many people are you reaching out that you wanted to be part of the festival, and how many people are actually pitching themselves to you?
That's a great question. At this point, we get a lot of the content for South by Southwest through an interface called the South by Southwest Panel Picker. This is when anyone in the community, anyone in the global / international community can enter a speaking proposal. And this proposal is then posted online, and anyone in the community can then vote on the proposal, whether they like it or don't like it so much. So it's kind of a modified crowdsourcing approach to content. We'll end up getting about 5,200 ideas that way. And those ideas will end up, about 700, 800 of them will make it into the event. So about 75% of our programming, 70 to 75% of our programming comes from this modified crowdsourcing content via the panel picker. That means that, you know, the other 25%, 30% is content that we have curated, quote unquote, meaning that we have identified that, this woman is doing some really, really amazing stuff. Let's try to reach out to her and see if we can get her to speak at South by Southwest. And, you know, again, in our, after three decades, it becomes easier to reach out to these people easier. And they tend to say yes a few more, percentage wise, a little more often than they said 20 or 25 years ago. And that's neat.
So that's great. People who will be attending the festival can kind of engage in pick and choose what they want to hear from, what kind of topics, content they want to see. So that probably makes life a little bit easier for you.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of reasons that we adopted this system. And probably first and foremost was that having worked on putting together content and panels and solo presentations, I always found that the best presentations were the ones that someone who is an expert in that particular field had contacted me and said, hey, I can put together a panel on blank blank. So point there being that, I'm not a quantum physics expert, not nearly so. And I can read an article in Wired magazine about quantum physics and understand a little bit of it and maybe poke around and try to invite some of the people that are mentioned in the Wired article. But much better if there's a professor or researcher or a scientist that works on quantum that will put together a session with two or three of his friends or her friends, and that'll be much more expert than anything I can do. So that was kind of the motivation of having this outsourced, connected approach to programming. I'll say that it was also, we wanted to get away from having the same old speakers that tend to go round and round from tech event to tech event or any other kind of event. And not that these speakers aren't great, but always felt that it was important that we be able to showcase new voices and the next generation of speakers, and having the community enter speaking proposals is a really good way for us to do that.
What are some of the themes that you keep seeing year over year that people submitting?
I think the biggest theme year over year that we see and that we really want to see and are happy to see is creativity. I mean, South by Southwest started as a music event. We added film, we added technology, we do more stuff on health at this point, or a lot of stuff on health-related technology. And all that stuff is great and very, very exciting and wonderful to have. But if you break it down, it really is all just creativity. Creativity in different shapes and forms and formats. And so that is always the theme at South by Southwest, is creative people talking about what they do, how they do it, talking about what inspires them, talking about their process for doing new projects, that type of thing.
What's your take on creativity? It's a gift or is something that can be developed?
I think that creativity can be developed and improved. I think it's a skill that you can get better at like anything else. It takes a lot of work, but the more work you put into it, the more work you get out of it. And events like South by Southwest, like TED, even what's going on right now, Burning Man, they're great ways to see other very creative people and get inspired by their creativity and put that creativity to use in terms of your own passions and interests and that type of thing.
It has become a platform so people can find different ways to express themselves, because creativity can be anything, right? It's not related to art. You can be very creative about coding. You can be very creative about business strategies. So it can relate to any aspect of any industry as well.
I think so. I think the most, the people who are doing the most interesting and most innovative people in their field, whatever field they are people who are simply very creative, who take a new approach and employ new methods of creativity to achieve new outcomes. And again, that's something that we talk about a lot at South by Southwest, and people are always very, very receptive to.
Let me ask you about the 25% of the program that you said is created by South by Southwest. Do you usually have a theme that you want to pursue that year, or you kind of pay attention to trends and go that way first?
I think that for that curated portion, yeah, a lot of that is influenced by what is happening in society, what is happening in culture, what is happening in politics, what is happening in technology. and we're trying to pull in people that we think are approaching these challenges, these issues in very, very creative, innovative ways. So we have lots and lots of meetings every week to talk about who's doing, who is particularly approaching these things in very, very interesting ways. And those are the kinds of people that we try to pull into South by Southwest.
One thing I think is fundamental for an event at your size is city and local government being involved. Now, you can also make the argument, similar to Miami, I do believe that South by Southwest has really made Austin what it is today. The same thing, I think our Basel really changed Miami as well. I mean, Austin's a great city, has always been, but this whole excitement that has been in Austin for the last few years and this growth, I think it has very much to do with what you guys started 30 years ago.
Well, that's a very nice thing to say. We have been one of many factors that has helped Austin grow a lot in the last 30 years, and particularly the last decade. I think that, you know, how that has worked or how that has manifested, one, just a lot of people come to Austin for South by Southwest. And it's the best time of the year here in terms of climate. It's the days are warm. The nights are still a little bit cool. There's great parties happening, great networking events, lots of bands playing, lots of great films playing, lots of tech stars and, you know, coders everywhere. It's a really exciting place to be. And a lot of people will say, hey, I'm going to move to Austin after coming to South by Southwest. I think that's a little bit unrealistic. In terms of the other 51 weeks of the year, 50 weeks of the year aren't quite as dynamic as those 2 weeks of South by Southwest. But
they haven't gone through the summer yet.
Yeah, they haven't gone through the summer. That's true. But I think that you know, one of the things that we have done is helped put Austin more on the map nationally and internationally. Drawn, you know, we South by Southwest, I like to say, shines a very bright spotlight on the creativity that's here year round. But lots more people have been exposed to that creativity, exposed to what Austin is by the all the media attention that South by Southwest brings to the city. And that's again, been one of many factors that has helped the city grow.
Being a local, do you ever worry about that maybe Austin can become too much of a San Francisco that within a few years is going to be just unbearable to afford? The city is getting expensive as well. It's great for the growth, But being someone who's been there for all your life and you see what the city used to be and what it is today, what's happened in San Francisco, they're very much pushing those people out.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly already happening, not to the extent that, maybe not quite to the extent that has happened in San Francisco already. But yeah, we're seeing a lot of gentrification in Austin, a lot of older neighborhoods where newcomers have moved into the city and pushed the older residents out. We've seen cost of living increase a lot. So the city has changed a lot as a result of all the growth that we've experienced in the last 10, 20 years. And, you know, some of those changes have been have challenged some of the traditional charm of Austin. That said, I think that that it's much better for a city to be growing than not growing or declining. And I think that Austin, for all its changes, is a much better place, much more dynamic place, much more interesting place, much more fun place now than it was when I was growing up 20 or 30 years ago. We do have to be very, very careful and try to manage this growth in a positive way and try to create particularly more options for affordable housing. That's one of our biggest challenges in Austin, and it's one of the biggest challenges in places like San Francisco. It's one of the biggest challenges everywhere. But if we can do that, if we can make some inroads there, you know, I'm very confident that the best days of Austin are still in front of us.
It's not unusual for events like South by Southwest to start going to different cities and different countries. Is that something that you would like to see?
Well, we've tried doing similar events outside of Austin. We did an event in Portland, Oregon for a while called North by Northwest. More recently, we did an event in Las Vegas called South by Southwest V2V. We did an event in Toronto for a while called North by Northeast. In fact, that one is still going on, although we don't really have too much day-to-day involvement in there. What we found is that none of these events are quite as successful outside of Austin as what we have in March in Austin. And again, I think that aligns or confirms what I was just talking about, that there is something very special about this city and something particularly special in the springtime. So I'm not saying that we won't expand outside of Austin in the future. It may happen, but certainly the times we've tried so far, we found it's reaffirmed the belief that how much of the success of South by Southwest is due to the magic of Austin.
Outside that tendency, how do you measure a successful festival?
Well, as you say, I mean, one obvious measure is, were there more people here than last year? But I think that's also fairly reductive. I mean, what you want to measure, or what I think is, to me, the definition of success is when people connect with you after the event and tell you that that was the highlight of their year, it was the best week of their year, they got a new job out of coming to South by Southwest, they met a co-founder, their startup got invested in, their, you know, mid-level company got more funding, they met their girlfriend, they met their boyfriend, they met their husband, they met their wife. You know, when you get that kind of positive feedback that you had a strong impact on someone's life, that is, to me, the strongest measure of success.
Outside your usually mailing lists and social media, what are the tools that you're using to bring more awareness to the festival and bring more eyeballs?
As many people know about South by Southwest, there's still a huge, 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 huge pool of people who aren't completely aware of the event. And so the more we can do with even more traditional forms of media beyond social media, that helps get the word out there. But I will also say that, you know, one of the ongoing challenges we face at this point is that it's really crowded in Austin and South by Southwest. It's not like we can get a whole lot more people to the city during the event. I think that the ticket for, or the formula or recipe for success at this point is creating more of a virtual experience, whether that is by traditional broadcasting, or whether that's in 2 or 3 or 4 years when, you know, VR technology becomes stronger and you can, someone wearing their, you know, Oculus or their whatever headset it is in 2 or 3 years can put that on and feel like they're at South by Southwest and experience some of the event from afar. I don't think that kind of experience would ever replace what it's like being in the city and being able to connect with other people face to face. But I think it could offer something that is somewhat close to that experience.
Well, you get to engage and talk to a lot of leaders in different subjects and in different industries. Who is the person that you met at one point that kind of struck you and you were very impressed?
Well, certainly the person that I've met who's, you know, will probably be my most outstanding memory of South by Southwest was meeting President Barack Obama at South by Southwest 2 years ago, well, 2016. We were lucky enough to pull him in as a keynote speaker and got a chance to meet him for a few minutes backstage before he went on stage. And that was a tremendous thrill, a tremendous honor, something that I won't soon forget. But probably one of my favorite memories ever is someone who's, you know, not quite as well known as a gentleman named Frank Warren, who does a site called Post Secret. And he did a keynote at South by Southwest in 2008. And what was remarkable about his keynote, one, he talked about the power of confession, the power of letting go of your secrets. And it's a talk I've seen him do many times. It's very, very powerful. It leaves people very emotionally touched, and you typically have half to three quarters of the audience shedding a tear. But even more important, he did a few minutes of Q&A after his keynote presentation. And the first person who got up on stage to ask a question asked his then girlfriend to marry him on stage. And I've always thought that that's just, you know, again, a strong representation of how powerful events are in our culture, and events like South by Southwest are in our culture, that people are going to, you know, such an important part of their personal life and personal journey of asking their girlfriend to marry them, they're going to do them at an event like South by Southwest. And that's one of my other favorite memories from 30 years of working at South by Southwest.
I mean, I'm sure you're busy like crazy doing the event, running around all over the place, but do you try to make time to at least spot a couple of those?
It was easier to absorb content when we were a smaller event 10 years ago. At this point, I'm usually, you know, I'll see a few minutes of a session, then I'll go to something else, and then I'll check my email to make sure nothing is happening there that I need to be aware of. So it is not quite the same way. The way I experienced the event is not quite the same way that most attendees experience the event. But I will say that it's pretty easy to sense or understand what the vibe of attendees is. If they're having fun, if they're learning things, if they're inspired, I can generally kind of feel that. And that will energize me. If attendees are frustrated or not having fun, I'll probably hear about it on my email or social media, but I'll also kind of absorb that from, you know, walking around. So again, it's a different way of experiencing the event, but still a interesting and exciting way to experience the event.
What are some of the hardest things to do in an event like South by Southwest?
Most recently, the hardest thing we had to do, and this was in March 2018, this past South by Southwest, is that we had a unfortunately, during South by Southwest, we had someone who had set off a couple of bombs in Austin. And so, you know, we, in the middle of the event, when you're worried about getting speakers on and off stage, all of a sudden most of our attention is distracted to how do we make sure that attendees are completely safe in what seems like a very unsafe and uncertain environment. I will say that, you know, at this point, where we are in the world in 2018, a lot of our planning for South by Southwest and for other events like South by Southwest, our planning and role-playing scenarios like this of what happens when you have a an attack or a lone gunman or a weather incident. So we were pretty prepared for this. But that was one of the more challenging things we've ever had to deal with. And certainly something I hope that we don't ever have to deal with again. But I think we have to also be realistic that we live in very different times now than even 10 years ago. We had the nightclub shooting in Paris a few years ago. We had Las Vegas happen this past fall with the shooting there. And event organizers at this point have to plan for how you're going to deal with a situation that hopefully never happens like this, but a situation that requires crisis management and quick thinking and possible, police intervention, that type of thing.
Outside hosting thousands of people in months of preparation to put together a program of content, what are all the issues that comes along with an event of this size that the audience is not aware of?
I think the biggest issue we face is similar to what we were talking about in terms of the city of Austin a few minutes ago. We've gone from an event that is pretty inexpensive to attend and enjoy to an event that is not so inexpensive to attend and enjoy. And that that changes the dynamic a lot. And again, that's similar to the city of Austin, which in the space of 20 years has gone from kind of a sleepy college town, which was easy to live in and pay cheap rent, to a town that's not too sleepy and it doesn't necessarily have cheap rent. So we've got to continue to figure out ways to create new ways to get young, interesting attendees into the event. That was always what has been one of the strong points of South by Southwest, that you have young innovators, young creatives, young artists coming to the event, and they were again the next big thing. And the challenge is when the event becomes more expensive to attend, are you shutting out that next big thing? I think we still have a lot of that energy, a whole lot of that energy at South by Southwest, but we can always do better in that and always figure out new ways to bring in people who can contribute new kinds of creativity in new and interesting ways.
Well, you have a front row to some of the most exciting ideas and technology that's going to be coming up in the next few years. There's anyone in particular that you are looking forward to it, excited about?
Certainly there is at this point, there is a ton of buzz on all things blockchain and cryptocurrency. And kind of lumping those into one, and maybe they shouldn't be lumped into one, but there's a lot of thought of the potential of blockchain and the potential of blockchain to create this kind of web 3.0 and maybe return to a decentralized web that we've lost a lot of as our current web has become more commercialized in a lot of ways. So that's exciting to see if that can pan out in ways that we hope it can pan out in. I think there are lots of other things that are incredibly exciting as well, ranging from, quantum computing, which I mentioned before, but I think is still a long way away from being, mainstream, to new and different innovations in social media, new innovations in the transportation space, whether that be, shared rides or scooters or autonomous flying cars, who knows? But we're seeing so much change in that transportation space. Again, the bottom line to all of this, and the bottom line to why a place like South by Southwest is such a great place for all these innovations is they're all being pushed forward. All these innovations are being pushed forward by very, very creative people. And we've always celebrated creativity at South by Southwest. And I think we always will. So it's a great intersection there.
It's funny that you mentioned blockchain and crypto, because I just had a conversation with Murat Soniz, who is the director for the Fourth Industrial Revolution for the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
And we're talking about how it's a shame that people don't really separate the subject, because blockchain can be applied so many different ways that goes beyond to just currency.
You're exactly right there. Certainly crypto has gotten a ton of attention, particularly in the last year, and you know, last November and December, when a lot of these currencies were just spiking so much in terms of value. And anytime someone can, you know, make as much money in a very short time like that, it's going to get a ton of attention. Of course, all that stuff generally came back down very quickly, and we're in more of a long-term growth phase at this point. But again, I think the most interesting space and most interesting conversations and discussions at this point are things like, how can blockchain, you know, can it create a more secure voting platform? Can you use blockchain's technology to help with the refugee crisis? Can you use blockchain technology in terms of various kinds of art projects? So I think that the crypto stuff has the most immediate sexiness, but the thousands of other applications of this technology are really what's most interesting and will probably have the most lasting impact.
To everybody who comes to the podcast, one of my favorite things to ask is your favorite book.
Something that I've read and reread many times, simply because it's it's easy to read in the space of an hour, is that that book called The Four Agreements, which is it's a self-help book and really talks about agreements you make with yourself in terms of trying to live a better life. It's something that's, I don't know, maybe 100 pages long, but
it's a very easy reading.
Yeah. But, you never can read it probably enough times to fully absorb the stuff. So that is one of my favorite things to read and reread. And hopefully it will eventually become absorbed into my consciousness. But otherwise, I enjoy reading a lot of tech stuff, current tech stuff. I generally tend to read fiction more than nonfiction, but particularly at this time of the year, when we're beginning to get more and more busy, any time that I can devote to reading is just gold. And I find that I get lots of great ideas just by spending time with a book and not thinking about the ideas that I want to be thinking about.
Hugh, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been a lot of fun. So do me a big favor. Tell everybody how they can find out more about the festival, how they can follow you on social media, and if someone out there has an idea that will change the world, how they can put that in front of you.
I am relatively active on Twitter. My handle there is Hugh_W_Forest, Hugh_W_Forest. I'm also pretty active on Medium. I try to write 4 paragraphs a day on Medium. I'm also pretty old school in terms of email, so people can always connect with me via email, hugh@sxsw.com, hugh@sxsw.com. In terms of finding more information about the event, just sxsw.com, sxsw.com. And in terms of volunteer opportunities, the best site to go is volunteer.sxsw.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hugh Forrest. Hugh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, make sure to like, comment, and let us know what you think. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.